big day in the NHL. All 31 teams reporting. We've got a massive trade. We got a big signing. The Leafs made some news, right, Noodles? And Darren Dreger, our hockey insider in studio, was down at the MasterCard Center earlier this morning. Were you working your phone but doing interviews? What was your morning like?
Yeah, all of the above. I mean, actually, as it turned out, I believe the interview that I did with Austin Matthews and John Tavares was supposed to be around 10:45 this morning. And stuff happens. You guys know what that day is all about when you're doing the live action shots and all the shenanigans that's going on there. So they actually were probably a good hour and a half behind schedule, which was fine because there was a lot percolating around Erik Karlsson and Tyler Seguin's extension in Dallas. So we had enough going on.
Well, Erik Karlsson's a San Jose Shark, and the one question I have is, regardless of what you think of the return the Senators are getting, would it not have been greater at the trade deadline last year?
Yeah.
You would think that that would be when it's at its highest, because teams get two shots at playoff runs with Erik Karlsson in their lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, and nobody would really know, but you would think the return would be greater last year at the deadline.
Well, and you know what happens, right? And, you know, at some point, somebody's going to speculate on what was being offered by Vegas specifically. Ottawa sources will counter and say, well, that's not true at all. And you never get the real goods on what was being offered.
Well, you guys will find out, because won't those teams contact you and say, hey, I can't believe they made that trade this summer when last trade deadline we offered this?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, I've had a couple of teams already reach out, just in light of today's news and the fact that he got traded to San Jose. But, you know, when you're dealing with a player of that magnitude, you know, maybe Eugene Melnyk, most importantly, as the owner, and Pierre Dorion weren't at a place yet in their headspace of even though Dorion today talked about they made a decision in February that they needed to rebuild, maybe they weren't quite there yet with Erik Karlsson at the trade deadline thinking, well, okay, it's not perfect. It's not what we need in return here. Maybe it gets better at the draft. Maybe it gets better after July 1st when we find out that he, in fact, doesn't really want to hang in here long term. So I suppose there's some other things that could be in play.
Well, the flip side of that, this deal, and we don't know what these prospects are like and what these picks are going to turn out to be. We know Chris Tierney's an NHL player, but a depth guy. Dylan DeMello's an NHL defenseman, but a depth guy. Could you imagine the offer if Bobby Ryan was attached to it?
Yeah.
Like, if this is what they got just for Karlsson, if the owner, Melnyk, stepped in and said, no, Ryan's got to be attached to it, I can't imagine anyone offered anything. Like, if this is all you get, quote-unquote, for Karlsson, strapping on Bobby Ryan's, what, 4 years left at 7.5?
And that's why he wouldn't have been included. And if you want to go back to the trade deadline, again, Vegas sources indicating that Ottawa wouldn't put a value on taking the Ryan contract. You know, Ottawa's perspective was, no, you're getting a decent NHL player here who happens to have an ugly contract, but it's a hockey trade.
Good luck.
Get going. Okay, well, glad you see it that way, but we don't. I mean, if, you know, San Jose probably wouldn't have had the wherewithal to take it on, but, you know, at that point, then you're talking about Ryan Merkley, you're talking about Hertl, you're talking about Timo Meier, you're talking about pieces like that having to come back.
Right. Darren Dreger, hockey insider in studio. Erik Karlsson traded to San Jose for Chris Tierney, Dylan DeMello, a couple of prospects, a 2020 first rounder and a 2019 second rounder. There's some conditions as well.
How about the poison pill?
I like that. The Mike Hoffman clause?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, fool me once, you're not doing it again.
Right.
And just to remind our listeners, if you haven't, I mean, it was San Jose that then flipped Mike Hoffman to Florida, right?
Yeah.
And look, Perry Dorion would say he maybe didn't know that that was the plan initially, but there was a courtesy heads up, you know, we're going to move this player. So there wasn't any ill feelings or a grudge that was held. But obviously, when you look at the details of the clause that's included, and banker guys will call it a poison pill, right? Because you're protecting, you know, this large asset coming back to maybe bite you in the near future. So, yeah, I mean, if he gets traded, he being Erik Karlsson, were to get traded back into the Eastern Conference at any point this season, then Ottawa gets an extra first-round draft pick.
Yeah, it's a smart move. Although I don't know why Ottawa really cares about what happens in the rest of the Eastern Conference.
Right.
Like, they're going to be atrocious for a long time. Like, I don't know how they spin this, Dregs. And one of the first things I thought of was Brady Tkachuk has so much pressure on him to develop into a stud. That's unfair to him, but it's a reality because they had two options. You keep this year's pick, which was fourth overall, or you give this one to Colorado and you keep next year's pick.
Right.
And from a marketing standpoint, if they knew they were going to be doing this move and rebuilding, I don't know why they would not have handed out that pick to Colorado this year, just simply as a carrot for their fans this year. Because to add insult to injury, you're awful, you know you're going to be awful, and we don't have a first-round pick.
And Jack Hughes is unattainable.
And Jack Hughes could be in Colorado.
Well, he's unattainable.
You can't get him. Exactly. Right. You're not getting anywhere close to
him. He's off the board.
Like, exactly.
That's where you... Basically, you've traded away a chance at him.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying is, big picture, this is a PR debacle for the ages.
Yeah, you can peel this onion several layers, and it's still going to smell the same. But in saying that, I still feel that from a volume perspective, it's fair value. It is. Because, and there is a but here, and Dorian kind of made it clear in his media address, he didn't believe that Erik Karlsson had any interest in extending his time in Ottawa. So you can't let him walk for free.
Well, at the money he would want, Darren, they would have no interest, so it's a moot point.
Yeah, it is. But then you've got two pieces, in my opinion, and maybe you guys disagree with this, that are going to fetch you the amount of return that you need to really kickstart, you know, this rebuild, which it fully is, 100%. Yeah. And it's either Mark Stone or it's Erik Karlsson. With all due respect to Matt Duchene, I'm just saying that in terms of a market frenzy, that's what you're going to develop. And I think they feel like they've got better than a fighting chance. I'd be shocked. You know, Dorian, again, alluded to the fact that he had conversations with players. I'd be shocked if he hasn't talked to Mark Stone to say, let's not worry about the contract stuff now. That'll all come in the negotiation. I just need to know that you're at least interested in being part of developing through this rebuild. And whatever message you got back had to have been positive, right? So your next best option is Erik Karlsson.
Darren Dreger, our hockey insider in studio. Karlsson now in San Jose. How does this affect the power rankings in the league? Like, does this put San Jose right there with Winnipeg and Tampa? Are they on that next layer? Are they with the Leafs? Are they with Pittsburgh? Where's San Jose?
Go around
now?
The table on that one.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
I don't even think it puts them with Winnipeg and Nashville. I think it makes them a better team. Obviously, you're going to have Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson on the ice for pretty much the whole game. Just like
Pronger and Niedermeyer that played 30 minutes a night, and then let's not forget Vlasic. Vlasic's a star. Like, I think he's.
But I'm not putting them
there
as like the team to. But sometimes a transaction like this happens.
Makes you
like when Pronger went from Edmonton to Anaheim, you're like, man, Anaheim's probably the team to beat out there.
Yeah,
I'm not going.
I'd like to see it unfold. They've got a couple really good pieces there. Like a healthy Couture, people forget. Like, he's a guy I think people sleep on because he's had injury issues throughout his career. He's a hell of a player. Pavelski, we know he's money in the bank to get you at least 30. Like, he's
Evander Kane was money when they got him.
You know, they've got a better team than I think people are. Again, we don't. You know, if you make the conscious effort to stay up till you and I do. Oh, I mean, Hayes, you're a night owl. Like, we watch so much hockey out west. Like, San Jose's, I think they're. I mean, they're all in, regardless if Thornton's near or not. The guy's 100 years old. He's not about speed. What he is about smarts and delivering the puck. For me, it still doesn't put them at Nashville, Winnipeg. I believe Winnipeg is the best team in the NHL on paper. And I think Nashville, and then out west, I think Nashville's a close second, if you ask me. And I think San Jose's in a layer below.
I agree with that assessment. I just don't think Doug Wilson is done yet. I don't think he's done yet. I think that he's going to try and add a centerman to what ilk. You know, we're going to have to find out. I mean, anything above. You know, anything above a top three center in the league is next to impossible to acquire in season. But I can tell you that the San Jose Sharks were devastated when John Tavares decided that he was going to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that tells you that the owner, Wilson, everybody with the San Jose Sharks, they're big game hunting. And they landed a big one in Erik Karlsson. Is that enough to push them fully into contending status? Let's find out how the regular season goes, but not compared to some of the other teams the guys talked about.
Yeah, I think they're clearly a top 10 team. They might have been there anyway. But I wonder, you know, the likelihood of extending Carlson? They've got that money. They were going to give Tavares a ton of money. Yeah. Did they just send a blank check over to Carlson, or how do you see that negotiation?
Well, and this is where it gets a bit interesting, and Bruce Garriock mentioned this as part of our trade coverage today, and I'd heard the same. Carlson didn't love the idea of going to San Jose initially. So maybe Ottawa had to grind on him for the last several days to get him to like the idea more of going to San Jose. Maybe when he gets there, you know, he recognizes, his wife recognizes, hey, you know what? You can leave the rink and have a lifestyle, and things are pretty good. You know, maybe he'll learn to like it.
Wine.
And that buys Doug Wilson and the owner enough time to worry about the contract later in the year. But that's equally impressive here. You know, okay, San Jose didn't. Chris Turney's a decent player. DeMello, we've already talked about. So Wilson didn't attack his roster in any way, shape, or form. So why not gamble on the season?
And they're all in now.
Yeah, they have to be.
They're all in.
They have to be.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider in studio. So Tyler Seguin also signed an 8-year deal extension that kicks in after this year. $9.85 million per. The Toronto guy and me immediately linked this to Tavares. I think they're both in a similar ballpark. I think Tavares might be a little bit more of a complete player. And he was a UFA. He left. Mm-hmm. I understand the tax structure. But I looked at it, and we're always counting pennies and counting dollars in this cap era. Tavares at 11, Seguin at 9.85. Yeah. Does that mean Dallas got a great deal? Does it mean the Leafs overpaid? I mean, how do you connect the two?
Don't you think, Darren, this is a good part? This is a good deal for both sides. It's about right. It's with inflation, it's a little more than Jamie Benn. The guy's going past the $100 million mark for his career.
Oh, it's a great deal.
I mean, what?
But I'm saying then
it just makes sense. He loves it there. The money's probably where it should be. And
I think he could.
How much do you need?
But I'm just saying, like, okay, so you're seeing Jack Eichel at 10.
Right.
And I think Sagan's every bit of player is Jack
God
Eichel.
Yeah. Eichel would always be coming to my mind if I'm one of these players saying, well, Eichel's at 10.
But I get it. Eichel's at a different stage of his career. The tax-free situation, it comes into it. But, I'm sure there's a no-trade attached to it or a
lockout protection.
Yeah, all of that stuff.
It's a pretty juicy deal.
But it was creative. Stamkos, what did he get? 8.5. Now, that was a hometown discount. You give... Like, he likes that situation, I'm sure. But I'm sure in the back of his mind at some point he's going... I could go and get, if I wanted to, 12 in Montreal, but it comes with taxes and pressure and a team that's not as good as Dallas. You know, he's probably looked at all the landscape of the National Hockey League and said, where's the money for me? What's it going to look like? And then what's the team going to look like?
Yeah, I'm a bit biased. I'll admit I'm a Tyler Seguin fan.
So am I.
I think he's a hell of a hockey player.
I agree.
And I would put him up against the best of the best. That's how strongly I feel about his overall all-around game. I think that Dallas was hoping that Jamie Benn was their internal salary cap at 9.5. But guess what? Stuff changes. The salary cap goes up. The percentages change, right? And that's what's most important. So I think that Dallas ownership had to get to this place today where they were okay going past that 9.5. And when they recognized... probably late last night that they had no choice. That was a bitter pill to have to swallow, but they did the right thing because, again, try and think of the Dallas Stars next year without Tyler Seguin.
I think it's a grand slam for Dallas. Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is from Seguin's perspective, what we all
learned. I'm shocked for Seguin's perspective, Brian, that he didn't want that opportunity to have the setup meeting room somewhere. And teams just pouring their guts out saying, this is how bad we want you.
But even if he wants Dallas... which Tavares clearly didn't want the island. But by all accounts, the last week, the Islanders went to Tavares and said, all right, we'll give you 11 or whatever it was going to be.
Yeah, money wasn't going to be an issue.
Exactly. For the Islanders, what I'm saying is if Seguin got to that same scene, what Dallas might have to have, a year from now, they may have had to say, all right, 11. You know, he could have got more money from the team he was going to be with anyway.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just makes sense.
But you're right. But you could say that, and I'm sure we have repeatedly, about Auston Matthews. You know, not to bring it back to Toronto, but if you're Marner or Matthews, why would you cut that deal now? Like, what if Auston Matthews has 50 goals? All of a sudden at the end of the year, he's like, hey, you guys wanted to wait.
Yeah.
Until my entry-level deal expired, I might have been okay at $11 million, in October. I'm not now.
I'm now up for a heart.
It's 12 and a half.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we're starting. And therein, whether you're an unrestricted or, you know, you're a restricted free agent, I mean, that's the delicate part. But the player has to earn it, right? And therein lies the gamble. Right.
Darren Dreger in studio. Speaking of Matthews, I mean, we're so focused on the Nylander contract, and Dubas didn't give much of an update because he said there wasn't one. Is it your understanding that they're still negotiating with Matthews and Marner? Or?
I mean, there's. I wouldn't call it hard negotiating. I would say that there's constant communication there. I feel like Darren Ferris and Mitch Marner are probably going to be the last done. And that's the advantage to Marner, in my opinion. He's going to sit back and see what Nylander ends up with, see what Austin Matthews ends up with. We know that this kid's got a ton of confidence. He believes in himself. He knows that he's going to have a great year, and then he's going to, you know, go into battle when the battle is necessary. But I, you know, just because we're on the topic of Leafs contracts, I want to clarify something. Because it wasn't on this show, but it was on radio yesterday or the day before, where I talked about Nylander's expectation. Now, I'm told the original ask was around $8 million. Right. Maybe a bit higher than that, around Draisaitl, maybe a bit under that. And it got twisted all to hell in social media, as happens on a daily basis, right? I can't believe for a second that they're anywhere near that firm ask at this point. You know, I think the Leafs would be comfortable somewhere between Nick Ehlers at 6 flat and Sean Monahan, who's what, 6'3 and change, and under David Pastrnak at 6'7. Right. But just to be clear, you know, when you start a negotiation, of course you're asking for that big number.
Not
that
Kramer.
Doesn't mean in September that you're still expecting to get that big number, and people seem to dive all over that.
You sat down with Babcock today, and he unveiled some news that they're going to have, the Leafs are going to have 3 A's this year, 3 assistant captains, associate captains, Tavares, Marlowe, Riley, and immediately what the real news was is Matthews doesn't have a letter. Did you sense that Babcock is concerned about that? How he's going to handle Matthews if there is a reaction from 34? I mean, what did you make of that news?
Number one, Mike Babcock isn't telling us anything that he hasn't already informed the player of. So that wouldn't have come as a surprise to Austin Matthews. But in saying that, everything that comes out of Babcock's mouth is calculated, right? So I think he'd rather diffuse the market now, essentially, effectively, day one of training camp, right, than have to deal with it going into game one of the regular season. So let the market chew on this for a couple of days. Austin's not going to say anything that's going to raise the temperature. That's just not in his DNA to do it at this stage of his career. And Babcock did say that it was interesting who he lumped him in with, right? You know, because it was almost like there were 3 layers of leadership. You start with the guys with the letters in Marlowe and Tavares and Morgan Riley. Then there's another level. And then there's Mitchie, Marner, Willie, and Willie.
And
then there's Brown and Hyman, you know, as part of a leadership core. I guess it's big news in this market that Austin Matthews not only isn't getting the C this year unless something changes, but he won't be wearing a letter, period.
Right, which I do think comes as a surprise considering where we would have been a few months ago, that he doesn't have an extension and he doesn't have a letter on his jersey, which have been biggest parts of the conversation revolving around Matthews. Is will he get an extension before next season?
Right.
This point, I mean, they're in training camp. He still doesn't have it. And will he be anointed the captain? Forget an A on his jersey. I mean, we weren't even discussing who's going to have an A.
Right.
And he doesn't have either. So, I mean, that's the way business works.
It does.
It's not like he's not going to perform for them. He's not going to go out there and be like, oh, well, now I'm sour and I'm not going to play.
I mean, I don't see it as that big of a deal until it becomes a big deal. If they name a captain and he's not it and he's pissed or something.
Yeah, then it becomes a big deal.
I think it's fodder to talk about, but...
But put it this way, and I know he's not the same player.
Right.
But can you imagine if in year 3 McDavid didn't even have a letter on his jersey? We would be talking about it. We'd be like, that seems a bit strange.
Yeah.
And I know McDavid is different, but...
You're right. It's a great point. It's a valid point, too. We're not privy, like, this is probably not true, but we have to at least throw it out there. Maybe they've seen something behind the scenes that they don't think he's ready for it. I don't know.
Yeah. He's still a young kid.
He's a young guy.
Well, and by osmosis being around Tavares and some of the other leaders, I mean, he's going to get better in that regard.
Exactly. Patty Marleau He's got 1,500 games in the league, or whatever he's got, and has is a decorated player. And Babcock trusts him a ton. I mean, they have a long history. Tavares, same type of thing, like veteran guys. And we all know Babs talks about, you know, men with their... He was talking about it today, but you got a family to feed.
Yeah,
did you,
exactly.
Did you hear that?
Everyone's got a family.
He's got a family, and he goes
the
home
depression
to his wife.
In the NHL.
I thought it was funny because
so
Mike
stupid.
Goes... You think Patrick Marleau cares about hockey when he goes home and he's got four boys running around? He goes, and these other guys go home and it just gets into their mind, the young kids. He was talking about Willie Nylander in the contract. I thought it was funny because it's essentially true. Like, but they still play on the same team. They play the same jersey and that. It's just there are different stages of their lives.
I didn't know this until recently. This is actually the second time Nylander has dug in with a contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He battled hard, and Paul Theofanos was the agent at the time. He's not anymore. It's Louis Gross. He battled over his entry-level deal, and his dad was part of the battle. And my understanding is Dave Nonis, then the general manager, had to get Michael Nylander on the phone to say, okay, he's getting his A bonuses. He's not getting both A, B bonuses in his entry-level deal. So he can go back to Sweden, or he can play in the American League here and prove that he's a pro-ready NHL player. That's the option.
Mm-hmm.
Case closed.
So, well, I would guess a similar conversation is going to happen soon here.
Probably has.
You know, because I think the Leafs eventually, I think it's imperative that they hang up the phone and say, call us when you're ready. Assuming they're being reasonable, which I don't see why they wouldn't be.
I think they're going to be north of six. And that's reasonable to me for what we've seen.
Let's say they have on the table a six-year deal at $6.25 million.
Yep.
And they think, that's it. That's a great deal. If you're the Leafs, you hang up the phone and you say, Willie, call us when you're ready. And you can't budge because you can't keep going towards the player.
I just keep thinking like I'm thinking of the term. What is the term?
Yeah.
Like that, is it eight? Is it six? Is it three? You know, that's where I think we're not in privy. Like, because if it's a longer term, like six, it's 6 years. Like, I know Ehlers signed 7 years. And I think they're kind of in that same ballpark of player. And so if you give them a little bit more, fine, that's great, but if you go longer, you have to make it a little bit richer.
Well, and you look at recent history with the Leafs. They gave Riley a 6-year deal and Kadri a 6-year deal.
Yeah, so we're just,
you know, that
Kadri had to, I mean, he got piled on before he ended up getting that deal. Like, there was some pain and suffering for Nazem Kadri before he finally got
some of his own doing.
He
for sure.
Was not for really sure. In good standing, and they said, hey.
But they made him wait up. For it and play for it, too.
Now, the Leafs are painting this picture. We got to go here. But they're painting the picture that, okay, Tyler Ennis is going to step up and take his job, or Connor Brown's going to step up and take his job, or this guy or that guy. Mm. I don't know. Maybe it's possible. I mean, you're opening the door for opportunity.
You have no other way to look at it when you're with the team day by day. You're like, okay, you're not here. I got to move on without you.
Well, the coach has to look at it that way for sure.
But they'll welcome Nylander back with open arms. They understand his value. Good seeing you, Dregs. Thanks for coming in studio.
Thank you.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider.